The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey, Cecil and Tom. I just wanted to call and comment on the lady who had an explanation for why people find comfort when loved ones die in religion. I totally understand what she's saying. The only thing I would say about that is people who have died after spending a long time and a long time suffering, I can totally understand why somebody would find comfort in religion at that point, knowing that or thinking that they know that their loved one is no longer suffering and that they have more ahead of them that's happy and not in the horrible place that they were, I can imagine would give them a great deal of relief. Whereas having lost my father as an atheist, seeing his last month being nothing but suffering and having the belief that, you know, that's it, I totally understand why it would be bring somebody comfort to think that they're in a better place, that they're happy and healthy. Just wanted to call and put in my 2 cents. Glory hole.
Hey, guys. It's John in California. I've called a few times. You know, I figured when I was in the Navy, went in 86 to 90, you know, that you meet so many people from so many places when you go in the military that I would meet somebody from Idaho. And I had never met anybody. I've met a couple people that claim to be from Idaho since then, but I still don't believe it. I've never seen Idaho, and this is what I kind of deduced when I was in the Navy, that if you went to the Idaho state line, where it says Idaho state line, and look at that sign, and look at, turn around, you know, walk past it, and look back at the other side, it'll say, welcome to, you know, Idaho. It's just, I don't think it really exists. I think it's like a Twilight Zone kind of thing. And so that's what I had to say. Bye. Glory hole.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance.
Hold on. I got to interrupt you because it's not just Chicago. It's Draft Central Chicago.
Draft. I don't really understand what that means. Why is it Draft
today,
Central?
The roads today. Well, the NFL draft is in Chicago. So the roads today, down where I was at, were just a complete snarl. Like, everything was completely fucking closed down. There was like millions of road closures, and everybody was just going to go stand and watch people hold jerseys as they got drafted. So
I didn't know that was an event.
I knew you didn't know it was a thing, which is great.
I was trying. You know, I guess I knew that it happened because I knew that, like, I think if I'm right, like, the worst teams go first. Isn't that how
it
works?
Yeah.
Like, the worst.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Like, it pays to be, like, the
bad.
Worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the middle of the worst, right?
Yeah, well, the Bears went seventh. So the Bears were not good last year, and they went seventh.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh.
No, it's Draft Central down here. And it's
Is
crowded.
It always
it's,
in Chicago, or does it
no,
rotate?
No, they rotate it all over the world, all over the fucking country, wherever the different, like places are where they, you know, have big NFL following, where the sort of states and cities have teams, but they brought it to Chicago and it was a big deal, and the infrastructure just couldn't handle it. Every street was just fucking stopped up.
God.
It was like when they have the soccer draft down here.
No, what you're saying is
when I say soccer draft though, Tom, is like, that's when Morningstar Mission gives away their Kansas soup. So That's the soccer draft.
The soccer draft is just like, does anybody want to play soccer for us?
Hey, guys.
Anybody? Like, we'll take the reporters in the crowd. We don't care.
Doesn't matter who.
I don't know. You got a kid who's pretty good.
Yeah, there's like a particularly fast 7-year-old.
Yeah, we'll take.
Doesn't matter.
We'll take that dude in the wheelchair. Him. Looks pretty good. Yeah. We'll grab that guy. Crutches aren't a problem for us. We're happy. We won't even call a foul or whatever if you use your crutches. I don't know. I don't know if they have fouls in soccer.
You're the best sports. You're the best sports. You are the sports.
I fucking nailed it, dude.
You know what you're talking about here. Recording from Glorious
Studios in Chicago. This is Cognitive Dissonance. You know, I was actually trying to pick up where I left off, and I thought, like, no, I can't do that.
No. What episode are we?
We're 223, bitches.
Because I'm noticing that there's fucking...
Right?
Is it?
23?
Is it 223? Okay, 223, you're right.
I think that's 223.
It could be.
Yeah,
I mean, last episode
was 222. Was a third of 666.
Yeah, but last episode was like two episodes long. Shouldn't we just call this one 224?
That's cheating. Which I'm. It turns out I'm okay with that.
Does it matter? Like, who are we cheating?
We're cheating ourselves, and that's the important part. I think somehow. Recording from Glory Hall Studios in Chicago.
God,
this is Cognitive Dissonance. It's skeptical. It's political. I don't know.
There's a
223.
Thing
Yay! So, you know, it's funny because, you know, we went to ReasonCon recently, and everybody in the kind of the podcasting community is doing a post-ReasonCon wrap-up, which we're not going to do.
No.
We're just not going to do it. So, but I do have kind of a confession to make, Cecil, which I think might surprise you and maybe other listeners of the show. So, you know.
You can do nothing to surprise me at this point.
I didn't say disappoint. I said
surprise. You could literally unzip yourself and be a female, and I would be like, yeah, that's fine.
I suspect it all along.
I get it. Yeah.
I just get like the one raised eyebrow. You're just like, all right.
Yeah. No, you just keep on unzipping yourself into smaller and smaller people until you're like that guy from fucking like Austin Powers, like the mini-me.
He's like a Russian nesting doll of human
skin. Yeah, like whatever. Yeah, he's like a Russian nesting doll of fucking flesh. That's fine.
So, you know, I may have partaken of chemical joy over the course of ReasonCon. And so I felt it incumbent upon myself when I returned to return to some kind of normalcy. And so I thought I would do a detox, Cecil. So,
a detox?
A detox. Oh. And so what I did is I waited for my fucking liver to detoxify my body.
Yeah, the ReasonCon was great, though. I got to say, of the cons we've been to, ReasonCon was, I think, one of my favorites. And I think the reason why it's my favorite, one of my favorites, is because the people there were real laid back with like sometimes when you go to like some of these conferences, especially the big ones like TAM or whatever, sometimes it can get a little cliquish. There's like little cliques that sort of form, and when you try to interact with different groups, sometimes you're rejected. And I remember at TAM a couple times, you didn't feel like you could just walk up and talk to someone. It felt like there had to be some sort of, you know, it's like asking a girl out on a date when you're in high school, like, well, I'm in fucking physics with her, and I also like go to the same church, so I have two fucking points of reference, and then I can ask her out on a date.
Right.
It's the same thing at TAM. It's like I needed. Not only did I have to have like a moment where I smiled at you in the inside the fucking the talk where we both laughed at the same thing, but then I also have to like order the same drink as you or something. Like there has to be some weird numerology in order for me to actually talk to you. And it didn't seem like that at ReasonCon. It seemed like I could walk to any group and just start talking, and people there were very friendly. So
yeah, it was actually a super fun time. I enjoyed everything about the weekend. It was great. So I agree, man. It was like you just walk around and have a good time, and everybody, there wasn't any pretension.
Yeah.
I think if you even attempted any kind of pretension at that event, you would have just been fucking swatted down by just the fucking normalcy of the fucking human beings that were walking around and just chatting and trying to connect. So it was fun. It was a great time.
There was also a ton of podcasters there, people that we, you know, hadn't had a chance to meet before. We got a chance to meet the Atheism 101 guys. They were real nice, down-to-earth guys, really cool guys. I had a good conversation with them for a little while. And it was funny because one of them was like really mad. He's like, I hate it when they leave your reviews that they're fucking, you're laughing. What the fuck is wrong with those people? It's hilarious. It was very funny.
Indignant on our behalf.
Yeah, he was totally indignant. It was great. And then I, you know, we ran into Professor Steven from Atheist on Air. He licked your face. I have a picture of it.
Yeah, I don't
remember
it, but I have the photo evidence of it. It's weird.
We actually spent a lot of time hanging out with Bryce from Naked Mormonism. You know, there was a bunch of other podcasters there. Of course, we hung out with David Michael. We hang out with him at all the cons, and he's like, I don't know. He's like our chauffeur slash administrative assistant slash
sex slave.
Freeloader.
Yeah.
Freeloader.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say freeloader here is what I want to say. No, he's a great guy. We know, like, the thing is,
he's
like,
not
we
a
just
great
met
guy.
Him.
He's not even a good guy.
He's a guy. Yeah.
He's a bald guy.
Let's just go with it, if you have to put a descriptor. Yeah. No, he's actually a really cool dude. You know, like, we met him at a picnic that we put on, and since then, every conference we go to and every time we hang out with him, he's just a really cool guy. He's really funny. He's great to hang out with. His podcast sucks, but other than that...
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to his show.
I mean, it's terrible. It's awful. Yeah. I actually offered, by the way, to mix his show, and he refused. So he could have had a really good show this last time, but he decided to go with his own fucking substandard skills. So,
well, maybe you know, I mean, he was concerned that it might overload the server if more than four or five people listened. You know, I don't know what kind of bandwidth the man pays
for. No, it's true.
You know,
and then of course the night of the roast, which was absolutely hilarious, and Noah and Heath. Did a roast of God, and they were absolutely stellar. They were so funny. We got a chance to meet Noah, Heath, and Lucinda. They are genuinely cool people. We hung out with them a lot, and they were funny and really nice, just really great people. And the night that you abandoned me, Tom.
Abandoned me. That's accurate.
I wound up recording for Professor Steven. And we actually did a little scathing dissonance or cognitive atheist. I forget which one it is. So just so you know,
immediately
you might not be the best I could do.
I love that I'm immediately replaced. Like I'm away for a handful of hours in the wee hours of the night. Might I add?
Yeah.
And immediately you turn your back on me. You. Fucking traitor.
The thing is Heath is funnier.
That's true. No, I can't. The thing is, like, I'm actually not even grumpy about it.
No, I get it.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I would trade you in for a better model, too.
Oh, I know.
But the better model would have to do so much work.
It was funny because one guy even, like, I had a couple of people come to me and be like, yeah, Tom's the funnier part of your show.
That is fucking nonsense. Other people
awesome.
Listen to this show.
I think it's great.
But, you know, the funny
really
thing
funny.
Is other people listen to this show and get indignant, like, why do you let Tom on the show if he doesn't do any of the work? And they're so mad about it.
They're mad. I don't know why, but he is.
I don't.
So.
Yeah. But it was a great time.
We had a great time at ReasonCon, and really, you know.
And
we
Bobby
just had
C. and Miss Ashley. It's not.
Yeah, Bobby
that.
C. Miss Ashley. There was just so many people, and there was, you know, we just met a ton of people that were really great. So it was a fun time.
That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
So the first story we want to go over, and it's not even a story. It's just amazing. It's from Boing Boing.
This guy is great.
And the title is Dungeons & Dragons is Full of Occult Demons, warns Baptist pastor.
This guy is fucking huge.
Enormous.
Good Lord.
His coat? Why would you even put that sport jacket or suit jacket on? The thing doesn't fit. It's look at his shoulders.
I know. It looks it looks like he's got a fucking bridge over his shoulders.
You've got to understand. Click on this link. This man is not just big. That is an insult to big.
This guy is thick, bro.
A man might describe like the pyramids at Giza as big. By comparison to this gentleman. And he's fucking red or purple of the face.
He's iridescent. It depends on how he catches the light.
Dude,
is what it is.
That is not a skin tone that means good health.
I was just going to say, you know, it is a skin tone. It's just not for healthy people.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It basically means your heart is exploding right now.
Could you imagine going to, like, a store to try to buy just even his ties? They'd be like, well, we kind of don't have one that's going to wrap around your neck, so I got this barge rope back here. And if you're interested, it's kind of got a little interesting pattern on it, but we really can't get around your neck. I'm sorry.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's like a mountain. The man looks like a fucking enormous cherry sundae of lard.
It'd be like dressing the Statue of Liberty. Like, it's just it's just hard. It's just hard to do.
It's challenging.
All right, let's play this guy. This guy's giving us the fucking whoopsie doodle here with his fucking devil sign. So hold on a second. This is this fucking Dungeons and Dragons pastor. I don't know. His name's Win Worley. He even sounds like a fat guy.
He's so fat. He's so very fat.
A satanic salute. And the unicorn, flying horse, rainbows. Of course, that's the New Age symbols. Enchantments, fetishes, potions, spells, Dungeons and Dragons, occult games like that, psychic readings, reincarnation pyramid, clairaudience, mental science, false visions, superstitions, amulets, talismans, Satanism, karma.
It sounds like he's a fucking auctioneer. Like, he's trying to, like, sell us these things. Do I have karma? Do I have karma? Do I have unicorns with gay fucking rainbows? Do I have that?
It sounds like the Skeptic's Creed. I should just give him a copy of it.
It does. He didn't mention dolphins.
No. Or giant worms.
Yeah.
These are some of the occult
These
spirits.
These are some of my favorite things.
These are some things that I ate for dinner.
Now, if you've dabbled in any of these, then you're cursed. Your children are cursed. Your grandchildren are cursed. Your great-grandchildren are cursed.
That's oh my God, that's so bad. Wow.
Jeez.
You're fucked like six generations deep.
Oh, God. Like, fucking even STDs aren't that bad.
Can you imagine, like, looking over at your dad, and your dad's like, oh, man, I totally played D&D one time back in the 70s. Thanks a lot, Dad. Now I'm fucking cursed.
I'm totally cursed. And my kids will be cursed, too.
Why even have kids? Why even live?
Now, there is a way to take care of that, and we're going to do that. It's quite simple, really.
Don't believe in bullshit.
It's super easy, actually.
Satan is a legal expert, and as long as he has legal rights to be somewhere, you cannot budge him. I don't care who you are.
Wait,
Satan is a legal expert, Tom.
Satan is like Matlock?
No, Satan is a little different. Hold on a second. I think this is true. This is true that Satan is a legal expert, and there's a movie that actually proves that.
Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Is that it?
Why not? I'm here on the ground with my nose in it since the whole thing began.
Devil's advocate.
I've nurtured every sensation man has been inspired to have. I cared about what he wanted, and I never judged him. Why? Because I never rejected him in spite of all his imperfections. I'm a fan of man. I'm a humanist. Maybe the last humanist.
That's awesome.
Satan is a legal expert, and as long as he has legal rights to be somewhere, you cannot budge him. I don't care who you are.
Well, nobody can budge you either because you're like the Blob.
I was
going
to say, this is a man who knows a little something about not budging. Like, out of the buffet line, for example.
Or, say, his airplane seats.
This is a guy.
Pardon me. Hold on. Airplane seats.
Airplane. This is, I'll take one.
Cargo plane.
This is a guy who still wakes up in mourning, crying every night in remembrance of Wendy's pasta bar.
You know,
just, why would you take it away? Why?
Yeah. The worst part is he cries gravy, too. That's the worst.
And he cries at the Ponderosa.
He just cries on your steak. Like, you call him over, you're like, hey, bro, I need, this thing's a little dry. He's like, woo-hoo! Just fill your plate up with demi-glace from his eye socket. It's fucking amazing. It's like, it's fucking rich and buttery, that's for sure.
Look at that. I guess what I'm saying is, he's so fat. He's incredible.
All right.
You can throw your coat at him or blow on him or whatever.
Why would you put your coat on him? Wait a minute. Hold on. Slow the train down.
No, you could throw your coat at him.
What? Why? Who would think that that would solve the problem?
Well, because the devil is like a fucking mouse. Like, you just shoo it away.
He's just like,
it's like a bumblebee.
I can't think. What is he?
Get out of here, devil.
Is he a puddle that I have to, like, escort a young lady over? Oh, let me put my coat over this puddle of Satan.
You've got to take away the legal grounds. That's what we're doing. Now we're going to take away the legal grounds on the occult. If you've ever been involved, or you say, well, I don't think I've ever been involved. Well, your ancestors may have been, so take no chances. Let's renounce it. It's not going to hurt you to renounce it. It might hurt you not to. So if you would bow your head, please.
I love it. He's like God is up there. He's like, oh, y'all had a coupon? Oh, okay, come on in then. Oh, I didn't know you had a coupon.
Is this one of those living social deals?
This is one of those Satan BOGOs. Fucking.
Oh, I was going to curse your children's, but I mean, I guess there's no harm in just
saying.
Well,
now that you've done and up and apologized.
I guess I won't ruin the lives.
Why don't y'all come in for sweet tea?
Fucking sweet tea? Hold on a second.
Here's a man who has consumed his fucking weight in sweet tea.
Why is it? What? Fucking, I had some tea when we were down in North Carolina. Hold on.
Yeah.
That shit is fucking pure, like it's fucking hummingbird water. It's unbelievable.
It is amazing, isn't it? It is. You taste it and you're just like, what the what?
It doesn't even have a tea taste.
Good Lord.
It's just discolored water. That's
oh
all
God.
It is.
God.
It's like, you know what I think it is? And I'm only half kidding. I think it's just water and brown sugar. There's no tea involved. I took two sips and I got fucking diabetes.
You already had diabetes.
Wilford Brimley was trying to fucking sell me test kits at home. So this story comes from the Raw story. Texas GOP lawmaker. What is going on in Baltimore is because of too many gay marriages.
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's the fucking problem. Says a guy who's so fucking divorced from the actuality of the problem. A fucking dude in Texas is going to talk about, like, what it's like. A fucking old white dude in Texas has fucking thoughts about what it's like to be a fucking disempowered black person in fucking Baltimore. And you're going to blame it on fucking gay marriage?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, in the black community in Baltimore, gay marriage is rampant.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. It's like, are you... You misunderstand literally everything about this community. And so, you know, it could be, and I mean, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Maybe it is gay marriage that's causing it. It's either that, or, you know, we could always turn our attention to Rand Paul, who is blaming the Baltimore riots on absentee fathers. Because that's another option.
Hold on though. Like, let's say, like, I gotta be okay, so this one guy saying gay marriage is the problem.
Right, yes.
And the other one's saying absentee fathers. Well, what if you had a gay parents and they're both dads? You have two dads.
That's true.
You have twice as many dads as other families.
Yeah, well then, I mean, but then you're probably like, then, I don't know, maybe you riot, maybe you loot, but then you give it right back? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's all very confusing. It's very confusing because they're just making it up.
And if you listen, I'm going to play this clip for you. This is Rand Paul. Now, the beginning of it is a woman talking to him. So she's saying some things that are like fucking basically making it a federal thing, trying to impugn Obama while he's saying, no, it's not. So listen to what she has to say in his response.
Do you think the president would have been smart to come out after the Saturday night disaster where you had an entire baseball stadium told to stay in the stadium? It was so dangerous. And they still didn't call for any type of emergency procedures on the streets. They didn't call for any reinforcements, didn't call for a curfew. Then this thing boils over throughout the day yesterday after this funeral for Freddie Gray. It was clearly and quickly spiraling out of control. What would you like to have heard perhaps earlier on from the president or even the new attorney general?
You know, I don't know if there is an answer from the federal government. It obviously is a local problem primarily.
You see what you see how he did that?
Yep.
Like immediately, that's how he. And it's like it's so funny that these people are so disconnected from these officials. They have no idea that. I mean, I could have guessed that that's how he was going to respond. Even that question, even as a Democrat, I'm like, okay, yeah, well, fucking, it's not a fucking federal deal.
Yeah, and I love that she tries to set him up as a, you know, because here's the thing, like he's a 2016 wannabe, right? And so what she's doing is she's setting him up to take a pot shot at the current administration in order to create divisiveness and distance. I mean, that's everybody does this, right?
Yeah.
You know, oh, I got your guy. Let me feed you a softball. Let you knock it out of the park. And even he's like, no, I'll fucking take some bait, but that's some fucking bait that I'm not taking because it's not even consistent with his own fucking platform.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't even agree with the guy's platform.
Well, hold on. Now let's hear what he has to say about the riots themselves.
But you do have to have enough show of security, enough show of a police force to deter the kind of action. And I think once it happens, it sort of spirals out of control. And it's depressing, it's sad, it's scary. I came through the train on Baltimore last night. I'm glad the train didn't stop. But the thing is that really there are so many things we can talk about, mm-hmm. but I think it's something we talk about not in the immediate aftermath, but over time. You know, the breakdown of the family structure, the lack of fathers, the lack of sort of a moral code in our society. And this isn't just a racial thing. It goes across racial boundaries. But we do have problems in our country, and you see this, and you see that we're close to the tipping point, closer to the tipping point than many think. And so there are a lot of things that can be done, but there can be no excuse for the behavior.
How fucking disconnected from reality can you be? Than this guy. This is a guy you want to be president? Like, what is he talking about? He's talking about fucking the tipping point. The tipping point? What the fuck are you even... What tipping point,
man? What does
point,
that mean?
Man?
Do you have any idea what he means
I think he's, you know, like there's been two riots in within a couple years over police brutality that sort of stemmed from police brutality, but also have some real systemic problems that are rooted in the community there in both those places, Ferguson and in Baltimore, that extend past police brutality into something completely different. But the problem is that these guys, what they're going to blame it on is, you know, well, there needs to be, you know, he starts saying absentee fathers and he's like, oh, wait, it's not a racial thing. It's like, fucking clearly it's a racial thing, dude. When you're saying fucking absentee fathers are the problem with Baltimore riots.
Yeah, and then he tries to say, like, the lack of a sort of moral code in our society. And then he says we have problems in our country at the tipping point. Well, what do you mean the lack of a moral code in our society? What are you getting at? This is all just fucking weasel words. Like, nothing that he says means anything. And when he says, like, well, there's so many things we can talk about, I just want to be like, well, fucking talk about one. Then pick something and fucking talk about it. Pick a point, declare a position, defend your position. That's right. How this works. Don't just fucking hedge on. Oh, it's something we can talk about, not in the immediate aftermath, but over time. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means you don't want to say anything because you run the risk of fucking offending people or being obtuse or being blamed for, you know what I mean? Fucking be brave, take a stance, tell us how you feel, defend how you fucking feel. That's it. And if you don't have anything to fucking say about it, say, hey, you know, I haven't considered this enough. I'm not sure enough of what the situation on the ground is to talk about it intelligently. This sort of fucking weasel word bullshit is just how is this going to be a fucking presidential candidate? It's a lot of words to say nothing. It's interesting because I've never been, obviously, as a reasonably privileged white middle class dude, I've never been in a position where I've had to endure generations long lack of opportunity, systemic violence visited upon me by, you know, not only members of my own community, but the forces outside of my community who are supposed to keep us safe, you know, grinding poverty, shitty schools, unsafe conditions in the streets and in workplaces. You know, these are things I've never had. I just don't have to deal with them.
Right.
And I have no way to conceptualize how I would respond to that when that rage finally boils over. I think it's an impossible All I can do is empathize and say, man, like, I don't get it because I'm not in your shoes. Yeah. And I don't want to pretend that I get it because I can't be in those shoes. And I can't get behind, you know, I honestly can't. I can't say, like, yes, definitely the solution is to burn down the CVS. Like, that's not the solution to the problem. Right. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to say, man, I've just never been filled with that much rage. I've never looked around my community where block after block is urban blight, where the sending my kids to school is dangerous and maybe even foolhardy, where, you know, the quality of the education that they receive is going to be spurious at best.
Yeah.
It's a world I physically, it's like a different country. It's like I live in a fucking entirely different country.
Yeah.
Because there is more than one America, man. There's fucking urban black America or urban minority America. And then there's, you know, fucking the white America. And they're fucking really different places to grow up. And they're really different places to live. And I know that's a gross oversimplification. But I think you get the point largely.
Well, I think let's simplify it a little differently. Let's say there's economically fucking completely devastated America. And then there's also, you know, middle class America.
Right. That's a better way to say it.
You know, I mean, those are the two divides. And people don't understand what it's like. Many people don't understand what it's like to grow up and be completely impotent and just have like no future, nothing to look forward to. Systematically, there's no way, because the way in which we handle our property taxes to fucking fund our schools, there's no way you're going to get out of that. You know, everybody around you is a dropout. You're a dropout. You're not going to better yourself. All you're going to think to do is try to get ahead as best you can with the tools that you have available. And the tools you have available are like drug trade and gangs.
Right.
That's the best that you can do, because you just don't have a way out. Yeah, are there fucking success stories from the fucking like really poor parts of the country? Yeah, sure, they exist. But they're like, I mean, that's like fucking, it's like a fairy tale compared to the rest of those people.
Podcasters. They live in squalor, destitute and disenfranchised, eking out an existence as best they can in such desolate places as Chicago. In pairs, but otherwise alone, they suffer from hunger and thirst, barely making it day to day on store brand chicken wings and weak domestic beer. But now you can help. For just a few dollars a podcast, pennies a day, you can give them the restaurant-style chicken wings and imported beer that they so desperately need. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can make a difference in their lives, allowing them the opportunity to rant unfettered, as nature intended. Please, go to patreon.com/distancepod. Today, make a pledge and help these poor, innocent creatures lead a life worth living.
So this story comes from the Raw story. Man, what's this guy on TV for? Fox Priest. Hard to trust an atheist president because they don't fear eternal damnation. Fox News contributor Father Jonathan Morris said it's one thing is very certain. You can't fake religion. Well, sure you can.
Yeah.
Wait, when I read the article, I thought, like, well, here, fucking watch me. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Allahu Akbar, man.
Like, sure.
Cool. you can't check up on me. You know, I could pretend to be a Christian. I could do that passively if I needed to. I've done it. I went to a church because a girl I was interested in went to the church, man. Like, you can do it. Lots of people do it. Priests do it. You can fake religion. It's like a really easy thing to fake. It's not like saying, like, hey, you can't fake having five fingers on your left hand. Like, fucking, I would agree with you. Like, you can't fake that. Like, you either have your five fingers or you don't. But religion, sure, you just... What religion are you? I'm Christian. Okie doke. Like, that's it. How do you not fake it?
And then the other thing that this guy has to say when he says, look, it's because, you know, it's hard to trust an atheist because they don't fear eternal damnation. I can spin that around on you and say, well, it's hard to trust a fucking end times Christian because they think this is the end times and they don't give a shit.
Yep.
You know, like where it matters in the real world, they don't give a fuck. So if you think Revelations is fucking a real thing, I think you're not fit to lead, period. That's, I mean, fucking full stop, man. I don't think that you should be getting votes as somebody who is an end times believer, as some, or even, I mean, even let's even just go to like creationist. If you're a creationist, you're so divorced from reality. I just don't think you should be leading. So, you know, this knife cuts two ways. Somehow you think that because there's no eternal damnation, they're not going to try to do some, they're going to do something, I guess, immoral in some ways. I mean, I guess that's what your argument is that, well, with no checks and balances after you die, then you could basically do whatever you want while you're alive. And you think, well, we kind of already have checks and balances in place for a reason. If we thought Jesus was going to handle it, we wouldn't have the Supreme Court and Congress. We just have a fucking king that God appointed.
That's it, right? And because we tried that, and yeah, you know, Saudi Arabia has that, and that's
fucking England used to have.
Right? I know. Like, that was, it's ridiculous. You know, I also think that honestly, like, I mean, if you it, like you said, the sword cuts both ways. I mean, what about the problem of forgiveness within your faith, within the Christian faith, where you can just fuck up and be like, oh man, I totally started that war, but God forgave me.
Yes, some Christian sects absolutely do that, where they're just like, whatever I do, I can be forgive for. All I have to do is just ask for
it. I just have to repent,
like,
right?
Fucking, okay, well, all he's got to do is fucking put the launch codes in and then just fucking ask for forgiveness.
Sure.
And he's totally fine.
And don't they all believe in that?
I don't think so. I don't think that. I think that some need a middleman in order to repent. I'm pretty sure that Catholics need like a middleman.
I thought you just had to confess and repent. I thought that was all you had to do.
Yeah, but I think you have to have like a fucking paid representative of God there like, in order to do it.
Yeah, I think about that and I think like, well, you know, atheists don't have to face eternal consequences. No, we have to face fucking immediate consequences.
That's exactly it, right? It's immediate versus fucking eventual.
And the other thing is like, I don't have... As an atheist, you know, I have to constantly look at the moral decisions that I make and decide if the decisions that I make, you know, if they fundamentally shift or alter, you know, the character of myself, the narrative of myself that I'm telling to myself, right? Like, because that's what we are, right? We're a story we tell ourselves. And we have this story that we tell ourselves and we decide I am a good person. And everybody decides they're a good person. And I am a person of high moral character and this and that and the other thing. And so we have to constantly reevaluate our choices and how they fit into those, into that story and into that framework. But if I'm religious, I don't have to do the work of reconciling my actions with, you know, my sense of self, because I can dismiss my actions through divine forgiveness. I can make that shit go away. And so I don't have to reevaluate, am I still a good person? Instead, I can just be like, I fucked that up. I need to be forgiven by the big man. I mean, one yields a stronger moral character, and the other one is religious belief.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that. Ora mana shanda karaba. Lo corre mene mene. Jede kede burushida. Kidi bida sana. Uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka.
This story comes from the Christian Post. Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo, under investigation for fraud.
Christian Post, huh?
I know, right? I mean, it's not even the raw story. Horrifyingly, this, if you go to this website, like I'm looking at the mobile version, so the images.
I know,
are just...
I actually I deleted the M because if you go to the mobile version, it's just her giant face.
So it like takes up the whole screen. It's a horror show.
You need to stop looking at these things on your phone.
It's Oompa Loompas as far as the eye can see.
Fucking crazy. Good Lord.
So she's under investigation for
fraud. You know what she looks like? She looks like one of those troll dolls with the hair down.
Oh, God. No, she's uglier than that. So she's under investigation. Many of her clients are dissatisfied with the readings. They claim she has no gift. Well, no shit. And they have plenty of sources helping her pull off a scam. And they say she's like a vulture preying on the most vulnerable. It's despicable. And it's kind of like, how are you just figuring this out now?
You watch, I mean, even with editing on that show, you watch that show. And there's no way you can get around her not knowing it's a, like doing a cold reading. I mean, she walks into like a bakery and she says, whose mother died? And there's like fucking 10 people that are over 60 in there. Of course somebody's fucking mother died.
Sure. Because mothers die.
It's just ridiculous. The shit she throws out there, even with editing, Tom, even with the fucking magic of film and fucking B-roll and extra fucking footage, she still looks like a fake, man. And I'm not even, like, I'm not even fucking super trained in how cold reading even works. Like, I kind of get it. I'm just a guy who would be really hyper skeptical of something like that. So whenever they say something, I immediately question it. But you get somebody in there, like Joe Nickel or fucking, is, you know, somebody like fucking Richard Wiseman, they'd be like fucking, they would face fuck her.
Oh, yeah.
They would fucking immediately know what the fuck she's doing. They would immediately know that she's fucking lying. They would, you know, the thing is if you get somebody in there who's a real pro, they'd absolutely be able to like completely point out all of the things that she does. But even as a fucking rank goddamn amateur, I can tell she's a fake.
You know, what kills me about this whatever passes for a story from the Christian Post. It says Caputo lives in New York and is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. I thought, wait a minute, a certified medium? What exactly is the certification process for frauds? What do you have to do? Like, everybody just shows up and is like, are you a convincing liar? Yeah, I'm really convincing liar. Oh, okay, great. You're a fucking... You went to upstairs fucking medium college too? I mean, what is a certified fucking medium? How would you certify? There's not been a fucking single medium that's ever been tested or proven to be, you know, actually got a single fucking gift at all. All of this is gift. I fucking hate that term. That has any fucking skills whatsoever in terms of, you know, clairvoyance or paranormal powers. It's all fucking made up. It's all very obviously made up. They can never produce on demand. They always are, you know, like you said, they're like fucking, they're shitting their fucking garbage into a crowd of people. And it's a fucking most outrageous, you know, like, who here has somebody with heart problems? I know we all have fucking hearts. Yeah. But, you know what I mean? Like...
And it's like one of the most common things in America when we eat like sticks of butter.
Right. You know, like, it's like, are you kidding me? First of all, if I walk in a room, I'm a walking fucking bag of health problems. They're like,
exactly.
All of my organs are trying to leave my body all the time for better fucking environments.
The older you are, seriously though, the older you are, the more aches and pains you have, the more problems you have with your body. It's like, it's so easy just to walk up to an old person and be like, oh, you know, I'm noticing some problems, like, and then you start like going around your chest and you're just like, oh yeah, well, there's like fucking literally 35 things in there that can be wrong.
It's like somewhere in your torso region. Yeah. It's like, well, that's where all of my organs are.
It's amazing. Did you hear about the little person palm reader that escaped from prison?
What? No. What?
No, it was a small medium at large.
Oh! Nice! Nice! Oh, that joke is so up your alley. That's the best part. Like, I can see you fucking grinning ear to ear, just like,
it's a small medium.
That's
at
great.
Large.
That joke is so, oh God, we're navigating away from this. Small medium at large.
See, because they were little.
I got it, Jesus.
I'm Raymond Massey, and I have a special message for senior citizens. Today's doctors, drugs, and medical devices truly work medical miracles for young and old alike. but there are some as phony as a $3 bill. Investigate before you invest in health services or products. Help stamp out quackery.
So this story is awesome. It's from The Guardian. None of it is true. Wellness blogger Belle Gibson admits she never had cancer.
Holy shit.
This fucking horrible degenerate of a human being built an empire, a wellness empire, sold books, website, blog, all that kind of shit, was on television. All of this was sold on the claim that she cured her own terminal brain cancer through lifestyle changes and diet. And in fact, she recently told Australian Women's Weekly in an interview that it's all bullshit. She made the whole fucking thing up.
Isn't that crazy?
Can you imagine how many people bought her shit, man, and followed her shit and blamed themselves because, you know, they're supposed to be eating fucking spirulina and fucking wheat germ or whatever the goddamn made up bullshit by an unqualified fraud.
Yeah.
You know? So whatever garbage she just fucking puked out of her fucking face hole in order to make money off the backs of fucking sick people. And people are following this. And then the one day they eat a fucking cheeseburger and, you know, their fucking tumor doesn't shrink. And, you know, they're fucking beating themselves up. They're beating themselves up because they didn't follow the fucking Gibson super diet 100%. And now their fucking tumor isn't shrinking. And maybe if they hadn't eaten that cheeseburger. You know what I mean? You know that shit happens.
And, you know, to the people who aren't fucking sick, I really don't care. You know, whether you're eating fucking, you know, your spoonfuls of wheat germ every day or whatever the fuck you're choking down. You're trying to figure out a way to prevent yourself from getting cancers, etc. I really don't care. But like you said, it's the sick people. Those are the people that are at risk. Those are the people that fucking are looking for a place to turn because they might not be able to get answers other places because it's fucking so bleak for them. And they come to this woman because she seems to have answers and they fucking eat whatever she tells them and fucking buys their app and follows her blog. Fucking she gets tons of money based on this. And she even had like committed fraud based on some she was supposed to get money to charity and she didn't do that.
I know,
like, what kind of awful human are you?
It's fucking all the awful. That's what she is. You know, but it, you know, I'm reminded of that fucking Kevin Trudeau asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's in fucking the judge fucking threw the book at that dude the other day.
Yeah.
Just fucking chucked it at him.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
in
yeah.
the bean. But people stood up in the courtroom and this is a man who admitted to being a fraud. He fucking came out and said it. He's convicted of it. He's being sentenced for it. And people stood up in that courtroom and defended him. They stood up, you know, people who were supposed to be quiet observers, they stood up and fucking yelled stuff about, you know, how Kevin Trudeau's fucking mystery book of super mysteries or whatever fucking garbage.
Because, you know, it was called The Things That Doctors Don't Want You to
yeah,
Know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that they don't want you to know. The fucking
they
thing.
Don't want you to know.
But, yeah. You know, the thing is, like, this woman will still have, you're right, this woman will still have followers. There will be people who think that this is a conspiracy by
right,
big medicine
right.
or, you know.
Absolutely.
It's fucking
Absolutely.
So depressing. You can't undo it. You can't unring that bell.
I understand the fucking natural, you know, people want to go back to, you know, eating better wholesome foods, etc. I get it. It fucking makes sense. It's, you know, it's good wholesome foods. I understand. If that's what you want to do with your diet, go do it. But to make claims like this that say, like, I treated my own cancer with this, you know, that's
right.
fucking dangerous. That's dangerous. I understand you want to fucking go out there and be like, oh, well, I just think that this is going to prevent cancer. Well, you could think that's going to prevent cancer all day and then make your own fucking website. But when you are trying to make sure that you're giving yourself your own credibility through lying like this, you just I hope that she receives some sort of punishment. I know they have some crazy laws over in Britain where like fucking can't wear a wig on Sunday or whatever the fuck, and they're gonna throw the book at her, hopefully. I mean, you can't even call that Sally Morgan a fraud.
Yeah, I know, that's crazy. Can you imagine? I mean, this whole show would break down if we couldn't mock people.
Yeah.
God, I can't
mercilessly like we do.
All right. Yeah. There wouldn't even be any point in doing it. Although I'm not convinced there's any point in doing it anyway.
You're all sick!
Oh, be nice!
Oh, my son doesn't stand a chance. The whole world's gone gay! Oh my God, what's happening now?
We work hard. We play hard.
So this story comes from Right Wing Watch. It's Pat Robertson. Yay! I troll around looking for Pat Robertson to say and do something awesome because he's just fucking delightful. Pat Robertson, sodomy, abortion, and mocking fundamentalists will doom America. I love it. So it's sodomy and abortion. All right. These are the similar talking points. And then just making fun of me. Just stop being a big duty head.
We've been making fun of this guy since 2008.
And that's why we've doomed America.
Take that, America.
Well, you're fucked now. Fuck you, America. Cecil and Tom fucking bent you over.
Going to fucking Sweden now, bitches.
Yeah.
All right, so let's play Pat Robertson. This is Pat Robertson from his 700 Club via Right Wing Watch.
400 years have passed since America was first conceived at Cape Henry.
400 years have passed since Pat was born.
Since Pat's golden birthday.
Pat's so old, like he remembers stoning of witches in Salem.
It was yesterday in his backyard.
Come on over for the stoning.
And respect for our roots is growing cold. Yet one undeniable fact still remains. At its core, the United States of America is a Christian nation.
One undeniable fact.
I said it out loud.
As long as I fucking only pick certain things and omit literally all of the history of the United States.
If you ignore history, this is a historical fact. Like, okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. It's
cool, bro.
Undeniable. So don't even try to deny it.
Cool cross, bro.
With your stuff knowing and your book learnings.
And your thought thinking.
Yeah, but I have some questions. No, it's an undeniable fact.
It's completely undeniable. Here's the thing, bro. I'm denying it.
I'm denying. No, you can't. I said it was undeniable. That's how I win. That's how I win first. Not it.
I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say. All right.
Those words we better heed, ladies and gentlemen, on this special anniversary. When we lose religion, pure, undefiled religion, farewell to virtue, farewell to liberty, farewell to the things that we love. And isn't that what's happening in Baltimore or other cities, Ferguson and so forth?
I would argue that a lot of those people are very religious.
Right? This is not an atheist. Like, you're not like going to urban centers and walking around finding a whole bunch of fucking atheists. The fucking churches are pretty powerful things in most poor communities.
Well, what I think people are missing is that the Baltimore is actually an atheist commune.
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah. It's what it is. That's what it is, and that's why the revolts happen, is because they're non-religious, I guess.
That's an undeniable fact.
By the way, Pat Robertson in this is so awesome looking. His not only is one side of his face droopy, but one side of his body is droopy. It's like he's like a half melty candle.
He is just going to melt one day.
Yeah.
It's just someone is going to fucking splash some water on him on air. He's like, I'm melting.
We lost the virtue that made this country great. And we've got a Supreme Court now that's deciding whether they're going to bring in sodomy and put it in the Constitution.
Woohoo!
Let's put the sodomy in the Constitution. What exactly? Would that be an amendment like you have to fucking take it in the pooper or blow somebody?
Right?
How does that work?
I'd be thrilled. I think it sounds great. Like a sodomy in the Constitution. Because now you don't even have to fucking ask for it. You know what I mean? That's just straight up in there. You're like, you're fucking throwing down. You're like, listen, I don't know what you're into, but I'm into the Constitution.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read your Miranda rights, and I'm going to fuck you in the ass.
Look, I'm not sure if this is your thing, but you kind of have to blow me if you love America. Yeah. I don't know.
You don't have to say anything because you could plead the fifth throughout the entire thing.
We have brought in the murder of unborn children and put that in the Constitution.
It's on page 3.
Wait,
it's on page 3. You didn't read that? It's... Fucking read your constitution, Cecil.
Oh, man, we totally put that in the Constitution, bro.
It's in there.
Yeah, no, actually, what we did was we wrote the Constitution in unborn baby blood. That's how it, yeah, just dipped our fucking ink in their fucking slotted skulls.
We used their tiny fingers as quill pens. It's like you got one of those those old mechanical pencils. You know, like when you're done writing, you pull out the one in the bottom and you stick it in the top and it pushes the next little baby finger down. And that's how you...
We have brought in every kind of heinous practice and enforced it in the Constitution.
This guy hasn't read the Constitution.
What is he
no
talking
idea
about?
What's in it. It's like, yeah, isn't that like fucking penthouse letters? Isn't that what the Constitution is?
At the highest levels of our land. And sooner or later, a holy God is going to say, I've had enough with you. I've had enough. My hands are going to be taken off your nation.
No, not till they're done. Not till they're done. You keep your hands on my nation.
God's been fisting the Grand Canyon for years.
Don't just fucking tease my nation. You're going to start a job?
He's been rubbing Nevada with a circular motion for years. He's been waiting for that fucking thing to wetten up. You know what I mean? It's so dry over there. It's fucking desert dry. It's just because God is bad at foreplay is what it is.
Fucking drought over there.
Terrible at that. What they need to do is just get a big river of KY going through there for God's hand to sort of stream glide over it.
But right now, the hand of God is upon us for blessing. We have been blessed beyond any nation on earth. There's a freedom we have in America no other nation has enjoyed.
Yeah, so fuck those other nations. Fuck them. Fuck those other nations.
He's like, no other nation enjoys freedom?
No.
Are you kidding me? Nobody enjoys freedom except for the United States.
Everybody else gets locked in prison.
Give me a break.
That's true. If you go to any other nation, they can't stuff or do. It's true. It's true. No, I mean, it's true. You can't. I mean, if like you lived in Canada, can you imagine? Can you imagine how horrible it would be to like wake up and you're in Norway or some other fucking, you know, gulag hellhole?
Yeah, like Norway, like the Wang nations up there the cock and balls nations that are hanging up there.
Yeah.
We have riches. We have untold opportunities. There's never been a country like America. Why? Because it's founded on the Word of God. And now people mock the Word of God, and those who proclaim it are laughed at as fundamentalists. Well, we need the fundamentalists, because if we don't have them, this nation is doomed.
It's funny, because you look at you know, massively secular nations, and they're doing fine.
Just fine, bro.
They're doing all right. You know, God's like, fucking... Well, I'll take my hand off. And it's like, well, fucking, you weren't helping anyway. You know what I mean? It's like you're riding your bike and all of a sudden you look behind you and your fucking dad's not running behind you anymore. You're like, I was riding all along, you know? It was always you. It's fucking stupid as shit.
My dad was an alcoholic. He never pushed me on my bike.
He pushed you over on your bike. He just sees you riding by
inside.
Him.
He'd be sitting inside. He'd be like, is that fucking kid riding that bike yet?
Look at him ride. Look at him
if
ride.
If he's not riding yet, bring him in here. I'll beat him. I'll teach that fucker to ride.
Here's what I'll do. I'll stand here and yell at you to ride. Ride your bike! Did that help? No, I haven't had a drink.
He's standing there in his stained white t-shirt and his underwear. I loved it when he stood around his underwear, though, because that meant his belt was far away.
That's how you know you're safe.
Oh, God.
You're safe. Oh, no.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, Christ. This comes from news.com, Australia. Aiden Fenton, 7, vomited and died after slapping therapy. So evidently there's a thing called slapping therapy. This poor kid was taken to a Chinese healer who did an alternative Chinese medicine workshop at the Tasty or Tasley Health Pack. Probably not Tasty.
It's probably
Health
not.
Pack, Health Pack Center where he died. He went and saw this Chinese therapist who advocates the use of slapping therapy. Wait, fucking, it is exactly what it sounds like. These people are slapped until they're bruised to cure illnesses and rid the bodies of poisons. And this dude said that the more it hurts when you're being slapped, the more full of poisons you are.
That sounds... No. What?
Yeah, it just hurts getting slapped. Who would take a 7-year-old and be like, let's slap him till he's bruised?
It's not just that. It's they paid $1,800 to kill a kid.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, this isn't just some dude who made some shit up and these poor people were duped into killing their child, right? This is a guy who maliciously is killing children because he doesn't care, because he's making a gob of fucking money off of it.
Right.
This is an awful, awful person. This isn't just a whoopsie doodle. Oh, sorry. I gave him some bad advice. No, this is a guy giving malicious advice for profit.
Excuse me. I'm fucking yelling in the middle of talking.
That's good. That's what everybody else is doing, though. So.
I know. You're fucking so exciting to talk to. That's
oh, fuck you.
I remember what I was going to say.
That's how we're going to end it then.
Well, fuck it.
Oh.
So the other thing is, like, when you read through this, not only did these poor parents get duped into bringing their kid and paying $1,800 to this fucking asshole, but detectives are investigating whether he was taken off of his insulin before his death because he was diabetic. And this guy claims in his fucking seminar that the participants should fast for 3 days. So think about that. You've got a diabetic kid who all of a sudden is taken off of his insulin and then fasting for 3 fucking days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a recipe for fucking disaster. And then they undertake the fucking slapping, which I got a fucking 7-year-old. And I got to tell you something, man. If I slap that fucking kid, he's fucking confused. He's angry. It's not like a grown person where I can enter into this fucking weird contract of Meridian garbage and be like, let's fucking slap each other for a while. He would just be fucking traumatized and upset and not understand why he was being, you know, withheld food and not understand why people were fucking beating on him. And then at the end, like, they slap him so much that it can prompt vomiting and dizzy spells. And this fucking guy calls it a healing crisis. I mean, at the fucking very least, if you're going to be a shithead fraud, only be a fraud to fucking grown ass men and women.
Well, and also be like, you know, if you're going to be a shithead fraud, can't you just fucking do like sugar pills, like homeopathy or some shit? Like,
right.
You know, I understand that neglecting the treatment is bad, right? That's a bad thing. So, like, if you're neglecting the treatment and the kid, you know, you wind up not giving him his insulin or whatever it is and the kid dies, et cetera, the kid gets fucked up because of it. I understand that that's bad, right? But actually inflicting damage on the kid, doesn't that seem just like fucking, that just seems like a guy who likes to hit kids.
Yeah, right. Or just is so fucking... so divorced from his own empathy that he's like, I'll take $1,800 and I don't give a fuck what happens to
right.
you.
So we want to thank our newest patrons. We want to thank Janet, Jeff, Joel, Rob, Scott, Tim, Lyle, Erica, Nicholas, Barbara, Blair, Peter, Adam, Tyson motherfucking Westrope, Tim, Kevin, Mike, and Christopher. Thank you all so much. Your donations go a long way to making things like ReasonCon possible, and it was a lot of fun, and it was just really great to go down there and see everybody, and it was all thanks to our patrons. I also want to thank Steven and Luke for their PayPal donations. They gave one-time donations. We want to thank them for that as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We got a message. This is from Tony. And Tony said, sent us a picture of what they put inside the program that has a list for cognitive dissonance. And for the listing, it says for cognitive dissonance, because they list a bunch of different other ones. And it says for cognitive dissonance, a foul mouth podcast that leaves listeners confused and unable to think clearly or consistently.
That's terrific. That's
that is
awesome.
Great shit. So we'll post a picture of that on this episode's show notes. For this episode, it's 223. We want to thank you know, we're going to send a shirt to a couple shirts to Alfredo, actually a hoodie and a shirt to Alfredo. But we want to thank him specifically for being awesome. Alfredo came through. It looks like our website is fixed at this point. Alfredo went through and sort of cleaned everything up and fiddled around with it and made sure everything worked right. Did some checking and whatnot, but he was great and he was on the spot and he was awesome. So we want to thank Alfredo for all the help. You're awesome, dude, and we hope that you enjoy the hoodie.
It was so nice of you to help us out, man. We really are grateful for it. So least we can do.
On this episode's show notes, you're going to find a link to a petition, and this petition, it says, you two inspire me to do ridiculous and useless things. That said, I have a request for you guys. Could you please support my petition to change the Pledge of Allegiance in Texas to Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA?
That's amazing. That's awesome.
And so we're going to post a link. We think everybody should go and fill this this petition out. There's only a couple people right now, but go ahead and fill it out. Again, like I said, it's episode 223, so you can check it out. Also, I wanted to post another image. This image is of the iBody. I'm not going to do much with this, but I definitely want to post it for this episode. So go check out what the iBody looks like, according to Kernan. This is Paul. He said, I heard, please send us Pokemon Hentai, and he sent us a video, but I don't think he thought this one through.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either, because he was trying to Rickroll us, but it... but it dropped the YouTube preview,
right?
So it's clearly
Google.
A Rickroll.
Yeah, and the thing is like you weren't gonna Rickroll me anyway because I wasn't gonna watch it.
I know.
I want you to read this one, Tom. This one is just titled Harry Potter, and it's from Oscar.
Hey, it says Dumbledore wasn't Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. Eh. Dumbledore was in love with a dude. Lots of people suspected it, and Rowling confirmed it. I read the books. There's nothing about that in the books. All I'm saying is,
oh my God, listen to me for a minute. Hang on. Guys.
Oh.
If it's not your goddamn books.
What's best? Hold on now. So when the elves leave to go to the 9th and 11th floor or whatever.
Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? The goddamn elves don't even take the goddamn Hogwarts Express. The fucking... What would it have to do on the goddamn train?
Oh,
they
God.
Can apparate.
Oh, God. What's funny is I'm normally the dork between the two of us, but this is your chance to play
the
dork.
It's pretty
awesome.
Fun, actually.
It's great.
It's awesome.
We got a message. This is from Jason, and Jason wants us to read this now. Here he is trying to tell us how Pokemon can turn your kids gay, and he put in a bunch of different names that if I tried to read, I would not be able to do it. But Tom, I'm relying on you.
That's a bad call. My story may sound a bit far-fetched, but I just may have an idea about how Pokemon makes our kids gay. See, when an Adreno and an Adreno get together for some beers, one will eventually become drowsy.
Oh.
This is when he gets a giant Kakuna stuffed in his pupitar. After a rapid dash of inward and outward movement by the perp, he will pull out and squirtle his vandalish matang in the meowth of his partner, forever labeling him as a Nidqueen. When this happens, two Nidorinas, it usually involves a Scizor of some sort, but from what I'm told, it starts with the use of a Vibrava and finishes with a little... licking action.
Licking is the name of a Pokemon.
I guess.
That's awesome.
Shit's
man,
fucking
real. I'll
on
tell you
colors.
What, I love it to give it to people in the Pupitar. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan.
That was very amusing.
That's very funny.
Thank you,
Jason. So, Tom, another Harry Potter message. I'm going to read this one. It says, Sirs. I think he misaddressed it. Harry Potter technically does have a Horcrux. When his parents were killed by Lord, I can't even believe I'm reading this aloud.
I can't either.
When his parents were killed by Lord Voldemort, part of Voldemort's soul was put into Harry. I know this because I finished the last book today, and this episode was released. The Lord truly works in mysterious ways. So, Tom, I think you are wrong about the Horcrux.
Genghis Crush!
Dude,
Harry Potter doesn't have a Horcrux. He fucking is the goddamn Horcrux. Read the fucking book again. You goddamn you.
Yeah. So I never saw. I don't know how it ends. Like all I saw was the last. The last movie I saw was like, I think like Snape kills Dumbledore or something, and then like I stopped watching it. And that was the last one I saw. And I like to think that Snape kills everyone. That's what I like to
That's
think.
That's how it ends.
That Snape he just like goes he just goes on like a fucking wild fucking wand rampage and just lays everybody down. And that's the end of it. And then at the end, I think Harry Potter comes back as like a Jesus figure. That's what I think. He dies and comes back. He's got to die.
No, that couldn't possibly be exactly
what happens.
That's probably
exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Because he's like a Jesus figure. Oh, and it's so fucking stupid and predictable.
Shut your whore mouth!
God, we're going to get so much mail now that it's so stupid.
I know.
They're going to be like, oh my God. They're going to fucking hyperventilate. They're going to be spitting their fucking tricks all over their screen as they're trying to fucking type this out.
Outrageous!
It's okay. I like dorky things too. I just don't Harry Potter.
That's just not your dorky thing.
Just one dorky thing I don't like. We got a message from Micah. Tom, this is about the horny toad.
So this is on your most recent episode. You officially went too far in mocking Texas.
No, we didn't.
No, that's actually not even possible to do. You cannot go too far mocking Texas. We give you so much good material to put through the meat grinder of comedy, but you just had to take it too far. Well, I have no problem with laughing at Texas Christian University, which is sadly held in high esteem within the state. The Texas horned lizard is totally innocent in this. Locally known as the horny toad, horned frog, and the various iterations thereof, this threatened species is actually the official reptile of Texas. Furthermore, it is perhaps the most metal reptile as well, given that its primary defensive behavior is to squirt blood out of its eyes up to a range of 5 feet. Additionally, it is covered in bony horns and looks like some kind of reptile from hell.
Oh,
and
God.
And he sent us a picture of it. Here's the thing, though. Are you fucking Texans so stupid that you don't know the fucking difference between a lizard and a frog? You just, it's like lizard, frog. Why don't you just call it the fucking horny squirrel?
You know, like, it's got a tail, right?
You can't differentiate one fucking animal from another. Like, it's colloquially known as whatever the fuck we call it because we're so fucking stupid down here in Texas. We don't know the fucking difference between animals. What are you going to call it? It's the horned armadillo. I don't fucking know.
It's the horned buffalo.
It's either a horned reptile or grandma. We can't even fucking tell.
Oh, man.
Outrageous. Well, Why would you call it a horny toad, a horned frog, but it's actually not a toad, it's not a frog, it's a fucking lizard? It's a fucking stupid fucking thing to say. You're all stupid in Texas.
I will say that blood coming out of the eyes is not, it's not uncommon. That happens every time I take my clothes off around someone else.
Right?
The blood just shoots out of their eyes up to 5 feet. So it's not
really
that uncommon.
I actually consider that foreplay.
Yeah. Someone asks, Paul asks if we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Nepal. We're not going to be doing a fundraiser, particularly for Nepal. We're actually going to be doing a fundraiser, hopefully, in the next month. We had already committed to. So we would suggest if you're going to give money, give it to Doctors Without Borders. They're a great organization. I'm sure they're boots on the ground in Nepal right now. There's also plenty of other great organizations that you can give to. The Red Cross is another great organization. But I would go with Doctors Without Borders, Paul. So if you're looking to donate for Nepal, that would be where I would go. Get a message from Rose. Rose went through a lot of trouble trying to calculate when our last episode would be, Tom.
Yeah, so we decided our last episode is going to be episode 666.
We have the right to change that if we, although I highly doubt we're going to get to 666.
Yeah, well, that comes up. I guess, you know, it turns out that'll be Monday, the 4th of January, 2021. I cannot imagine that I won't be killed before that.
I would imagine that podcasts won't even be a thing. Like, we're going to be like fucking streaming in each other's brains and flying in cars. There's no way.
You're crazy, dude. There's going to be a fucking apocalypse. It's going to be fucking raining, you know, radioactive ash. We're all going to be eating baby soup. So,
got a message from Colton. He says, I have the perfect huckster imam name. And this is last week when we were coming up names, and Tom said, like, fucking Father McRapes a lot for the fucking priest. And I said something like fucking Amir Burns' bride. But he said, no, it's better. You could have had suck my dick.
That's pretty funny.
And it's spelled S-U-Q-M-A-D-I-Q. That's fucking perfect. I thought it was amazing.
That's pretty great.
We got a message from Phil, and Phil said, I just heard 221 and the bit within about Detroit SWAT refusing to advance into a no-go zone, and I think I have some answers for you. I should clear the air and begin with Dearborn. Dearborn is part of central Detroit, but I'm sure hundreds of articulate and reasonable Detroit residents have sorted you out on this already. We looked it up. It's not part of Detroit.
Yeah, it's part of the Detroit metro area, but it is a different city, and jurisdictions typically lie within, you know, a city. So I can't, if I'm a Chicago cop, I can't go to Oak Park, which is part of the Chicago metro area, for example, but is a suburb of Chicago. I can't go arrest people in Oak Park just because I'm like locally around. Yeah. You only have jurisdiction within
just
a very
like
specific
driving around
area.
Your SWAT just looking for trouble.
Just hey, I've just started. Arrest you. And I know we're gonna get fucking emails from somebody like, well, actually, you could in these circumstances, all right? Yeah. I know, I get it. But jurisdiction typically only extends to certain areas, you know, state, county, or city, depending on what organization you work for within a policing unit. But thanks for the email. We appreciate it. I think we're wrong. You're just wrong.
We got a message from Sandra, and Sandra says, so I discovered your podcast, and I was listening to episode 190, and basically we're talking about the South, and says, speaking of which, and it says here in y'all, although she got the apostrophe right on the y'all.
She put the apostrophe in the right
correct spot.
Fucking bravo
y'all
on that
said
one.
There's only one tooth in the whole state of Tennessee, and I'll have you fuckers know that we have more than one tooth, and we take pride in our excellent dental health. There are, in fact, three teeth in Tennessee. And that's where we get the three goddamn stars of our flag. And I looked, and you're absolutely right. And that's why Texas is called the Lone Star State.
What? They only have the one tooth.
Because there's just one tooth.
I
got to
tell you,
this
Tennessee flag looks vaguely racist, and I don't know why. I'm just saying. You know?
I'm surprised there isn't like a black man being lynched on it. Tom, we got a message from Dave. And Dave is asking about how to explain death to a child.
Yeah, so I don't want to read Dave's whole email on the air because it contains some kind of private or semi-private information. But, you know, that's the gist of it. How do you explain death to a child to somebody who's not a believer? And, man, I don't have real good answers for you. I wish I did. I think he's got a five-year-old, and I think here's how you do it. You do it frequently. I've got an eight-year-old. And we've been talking about death for a very long time. He's really interested in notions of death and what happens when we die. And I think one thing that I try to do is not to correct him at all. You know, he's formulating his own ideas. And so I just ask him a lot of questions about, you know, he's interested right now in the Greek mythologies and the Greek myths because he's reading these lightning thief books or whatever. And so we talk a lot about that sort of stuff, and he wants to know, when you die, maybe you go to Hades. Well, maybe, bud. I mean, what do you think? Why would we go there? How would you know it was there? How would you know it wasn't there? You know, how would you know that was there and not something else? And so we just talk about it. I don't think you can do much else with a kid that's, you know, in that stage in their life where they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. You're not going to come to answers, and I think you're going to have an ongoing, evolving conversation. There's never going to be, yeah, man, fucking nailed it. Talk to my 5-year-old about death,
yeah,
and now we're
yeah.
done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an ongoing conversation for sure. Got a message, Tom, from Steve, and this is outstanding.
Yeah, so Steve says that he's a music professor and a professional musician with 30 years of experience. He has all of the degrees and diplomas, including a doctorate, that say I can be trusted to give an expert opinion on music. I've noticed your disdain for a particular patriotic composition by noted Americana artist Lee Greenwood. And he would like to offer his expert opinion on that particular anthem. It makes me want to eat my own kidneys and vomit them into my asshole. I hope that helps in your research.
Oh, that's amazing. That was great, Steve. When I read that, I laughed out loud. That's great.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Thank you.
So that wraps it up for this episode. It was a... I want to say it was fun, but none of it was fun.
No, so, well, I mean, you were talking to me.
We're going
to
be back with two episodes next week. We're going to have a midweek show, and then we'll have another full episode next week. And we're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.